So last week we began discussing the topic of ovens. I gave a little bit of an introduction to what the basic issues are, and now we're going to go through different approaches to how one can use an oven when it comes to dairy and meat. And just to summarize what we saw last week, so there's a tshuva of the Rosh of Rabbeinu Asher ben Yechiel, one of the later Baalei HaTosfos who actually fled to Spain due to persecution in Germany. So he discusses the issue of Zeya, that there could be steam, that if you have a dairy and a meat dish in the oven at the same time, so the steam from one could go up to the other, and that could be problematic. The Shulchan Aruch codifies this, and then we said that the Ramah says that that's only when the items are uncovered, are uncovered. But if you cover the items, then there you can bake something in a treif oven if it's double wrapped. So that's actually something that one's allowed to do. So the issues that come up with the steam in the oven is when the items are uncovered. But if they're covered, so we don't really have a problem. That's what we saw. So that's more or less what we saw last week. And the Ramah brings in source 20. So if we go to page 32, let's just review this Ramah in source 20, because this sets up what we're about to talk about. The Ramah says, "Imafu utzalu iser v'heter tachas machvas achas." If you have a prohibited and a permitted dish that are covered underneath a pan and they're uncovered, usar afil b'diavad. So you're not allowed to have that even after the fact. So if I have, let's say I have bread, which is neutral, but it's being cooked in the same oven as meat, the bread is uncovered, so I'm not allowed to eat that bread with dairy. But one after the other, so I don't have to worry. Unless the pan gave off steam from both of them. So again, if both items were uncovered, then I potentially have a problem one after the other. But if it's not one after the other, sorry, if they're both covered, then I don't have then I then I'm not going to have a problem. So with that said, there are four approaches to what we can do when it comes to an oven. So the Ramah says that if the items are uncovered, so even one after another, I might have a problem of steam. So let's say I have a meat dish in the oven, take it out, and then put a dairy dish. So maybe the steam from one is going to affect the other. Maybe I have a problem there, says the Ramah. But the Aruch HaShulchan says that that ruling of the Ramah is maybe has limited applicability nowadays. So look on page 33, source 21. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that he says, "Bedin zeh misbar lanu b'mishnah d'machshirin d'lo she'ach zeh el b'makom hamukaf." The concern about zeh of steam only applies in an enclosed area, below b'makom galoy, but not in an open area. So if you have an enclosed stove where the lower pot is on one rack and there's another pot on top of that, and then it's such an enclosed area that the steam is just circulating within that confined area because there's no ventilation, there's no room for the steam to leave. Aval. But this is the Aruch HaShulchan speaking, 100 and I don't know, 120 years ago maybe. So in our ovens that are bigger, there's more room, there's more air. You don't have to worry about the steam from the meat dish affecting the dairy dish. So the way that this Aruch HaShulchan is understood is that if I cook meat And then I take the meat out of the oven and then I put dairy in. So I don't have to worry, even if it's uncovered, I don't have to worry about the steam from the meat dish later on coming to contaminate the dairy dish because our ovens are big enough that there's enough ventilation and the steam is not really being preserved in the sense that it's going to, it's that the aroma from one is going to come and affect the other.
But our ovens are not so big.
Big enough. I think what you know what the, what we're talking about in terms of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah is that the oven is so narrow that it's literally like you have like this much space and the pot is right there and another pot's right there and it's like a very tight space.
Or it could be
Ovens
the
are ovens are they're not yeah maybe they're not industrial size ovens and they're not like humongous but they're still like you know you there's still like a there's still you know room for air to circulate in the oven.
You could have a toast, like a toaster oven, sort of
So
a thing.
toaster
Yeah.
oven would be a good example where like you know like if you put pizza bagels on one rack and you're putting a burger on another rack so on toaster oven
What
then
about
you have more of a problem.
regular toaster? Thomas's English Muffins, which has a D, dairy. And does the whole toaster always become milk? Like, I always wondered about that.
Those ovens are those muffins are milk, so I would think so. I don't think so.
The toaster itself becomes, because it was hot. Yeah. Okay.
We're gonna get to microwaves in a little bit. So Rav Chaim Jachter notes that this is yeah, he quotes the Aruch HaShulchan that I can cook milk and meat consecutively in the same oven. Now, one caveat, of course, is that the oven should be clean between one and the other. And then he mentions the position of Rabbi Herschel Schechter, the leading post, one of the poskim for the OU and leading Rosh Yeshiva of YU. So he tells people that you can rely on the Aruch HaShulchan, and he explains that the steam we were worried about was a much thicker steam.
Excuse me,
But
but
Reshachter
this
does it.
was.
One second. Reshachter does advise is that the oven should cool down in between, which I think is a
What
very
about
sensible thing. What?
covering and uncovering? I'm sorry.
What?
We should have everything always covered if you're going to use. Does it matter if it's uncovered?
So according to the approach of the Aruch HaShulchan and Rav Schechter, I can put things in the oven uncovered, and you know, at one point it can be meat, and then according to Rav Schechter, you should let the oven cool down, which is a sensible thing because then you really don't have to worry about the steam
Yeah,
at that point. Obviously, there's
that's
no
what
steam
we
at that
do.
point, and then I could put in dairy. All that can be uncovered. Nothing needs to be covered. That's approach number one. I can I don't have to do anything to the oven other than let it cool down. I can cook meat and dairy consecutively uncovered. This is
Right.
also a position of Rav Yosef Kapach, who's a Sephardi rabbi. He explains in his commentary on the Mishnah Torah that if you have an electric oven and you want to it's not a double oven, it's there's one compartment, but you want to cook meat and dairy. So obviously, of course, you have to use separate pans. Can't do it together, but that would be permitted. But he says that somebody who wants to be stringent, so maybe you heat the oven for 15 minutes in between to burn out whatever aroma would be there. But he says that that's not really required. So you have this school of thought that's very lenient. That if you have one oven, so you can cook meat and dairy, in the oven separately, and you don't have a problem. And then there's a second approach of Rav Avadia Yosef and Rav Aaron Lichtenstein that we do have some concerns that we still have concerns about the steam. So what Rav Avadia Yosef says, this is on source 24, the second paragraph. He says, "Lachen yish lahatir la'achar me'ed la'ei mitzliat habasar." So if I cook, if I bake meat in the oven and I wait 24 hours,
You should.
and then I have a tray that's designated for dairy foods, so then I should heat the oven for 20 minutes. So then I should put the oven on the highest temperature, and after 24 hours. And that will remove any substance or steam at that point. So Your safe position essentially is that you can use the same oven for dairy and meat, but you should leave a 24-hour period in between, and you should kosher the oven in between. Okay?
You know what I do? I usually leave the door open after this, and it airs out the oven.
Right. So that's the refractor approach, that you're essentially letting it cool down, that you're taking the air out. Rav Avadia Yosef says that you should kosher the oven in between. That's basically his position. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein.
But that's different than using your self-cleaning thing in the oven. That's just turning it on high.
Yeah,
you don't want to use self-cleaning all the time.
Right.
I know.
That probably wear out the oven. But saying it's good enough just to put it on the highest temperature for 20 minutes. I think usually when kosher Pesach, I think we say to do it for longer than that. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein says that, and Rav Avadia Yosef would also, they both agree that at the end of the day, if you're eating in a home that relies on the Aruch HaShulchan, it's fine. But lechatchila, ideally, so Rav Aaron Lichtenstein says that one should also wait 24 hours between cooking milk and meat in the same oven, or kosher the oven between milk and meat within 24 hours. So Rav Avadia Yosef requires you to wait 24 hours before you kosher the oven. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein says that one could kosher the oven within 24 hours and then use the oven. So the way Rabbi Jachter formulates it, one koshers the oven for this purpose by cleaning it and letting it run for an hour at its maximum temperature. And then even within 24 hours, one can use the oven. The idea about 24 hours goes back to the concept of notin tam lifgam, that any residue that would be there would be rancid taste and would not contribute a positive taste. And likewise, when you're heating the oven, so anything that's there is burnt and doesn't have any and doesn't really transfer taste. Those are the first two approaches. One, again, that you really just have to let the oven cool down. Don't put them in at the same time. But in our ovens, it's fine to use dairy and meat in the same oven. Rav Avadia Yosef and Rav Aaron Lichtenstein recommend some sort of combination of either waiting and or koshering the oven. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that one cannot cook uncovered meat and dairy in the same oven. Says one should not cook both uncovered meat and uncovered dairy in the same oven. So it says that if you want to make your oven a fleishig oven, fine, and then anything milchig would have to be covered, or vice versa. So if you look at source 26 on page 36. She says, "B'tanurei agas shebedina zot im yesh chashash zeh b'bishul tavshel shabasa megula le'asar levashel achar kach tavshel shachal megula." So the question is, if I cook meat in the oven uncovered, so would that trafe up any dairy that I cook uncovered in the oven afterwards? So he goes on to say, if there was steam, even if you wait a while and even they're not in the same time, you can't do both when they're uncovered. So again, he's not saying that you can't do dairy and meat in the same oven at all, but he's saying that that you shouldn't do them both uncovered. So if you want to cover both of them, then by all means, or if you want to decide that one is covered and one's uncovered, then fine. However, there is a potential leniency that's brought. It's in the same tshuva, but at a later point in the tshuva, and this is the bullet on the very bottom of page 36. It says, "B'kol makom l'maisa b'vaday heziu yesh lahachmir, aval b'stama ein lachush." You don't have to worry if whatever you're making in the oven is fundamentally a dry food, so then you don't have to worry about the steam affecting things. And then you could, let's say your oven's a meat oven and you're making something that's dairy that's dry, so you can make that dairy item uncovered. So Rav Moshe Heinemann actually says that that pizza would count in that category. Yes, there's sauce, but and there are some people who might question that. Rav Heinemann says that even according to Rav Moshe, you could cook dairy you could cook pizza in a meat oven because that's considered a dry food. But something where that where there's a lot of liquid, so like with chicken, you have a lot of, you know, you have a gravy, you have a liquid base, so then that's going to create steam. So that's where problems come in. So the Binyamin force, as far as if you're using the same oven, so what about the oven racks? So Rabbi Forrest in the Art Scroll book on Kashrut says that placing meat utensils on the same rack as dairy utensils poses no problem in itself. Taste cannot travel from utensil to utensil without the medium of liquid. Nevertheless, use of the same oven racks for meat and dairy pots can at times be problematic. Food occasionally spills from pots while cooking in an oven, soiling the rack. Thus, one should be concerned lest a dairy pot be placed over meat residue on the rack. Some contemporary authorities ruled that one may assume that any food residue on the rack is certainly dried, because it's an oven, it's hot, and is no longer able to impart its taste to any pot placed upon it. However, other authorities contend that even if no meat residue is present on the rack, dairy pots should not be placed on the rack.
I don't understand.
Basically, what he's saying is that on the one hand, you don't want the uncovered dairy, you don't want to have dairy and meat uncovered in the oven, but he's going even further and saying that in theory one should also have different racks for dairy and meat.
Does he have different on the top of the gas range when he's cooking pots on top? There's different racks for the
we're gonna say that's a little bit different, and we're gonna get to that also in a little bit.
You figure it's hot enough to burn it out, you know what I mean?
That's what we're going to say about the stove grates, the stovetop grates.
Stovetop grates.
When you're cooking on the stove, it's gonna burn immediately. So there is a final position. There's a fourth position of the Chulas VaHagos for Moshe Sternbach of the Eidach Haredis of Yerushalayim, the Badei HaShulchan, Revival Cohen, the Zichrono Livracha, who passed away earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
So the Ramah has a comment that if a pan is covered, the kol shari, everything's allowed. Midi da'ave a shteik de'ro nogo zoba zode enos yin zode zoba de'giya kol shakim b'zeh. So if you have two pots next to each other and they're covered, or one's covered, so you don't have to worry. Mila chachila yeshli has liza her b'kol zeh. However, ideally, one should not rely on these leniencies and should be careful. Want to be careful that they're not coming in contact. You want to be careful about steam. So with that said, and the reason for that, according to the Ksav Sofer, the son of the Chasam Sofer, is that we're concerned that maybe you're not going to cover things so carefully, right? So certainly in the same, when you're cooking them at the same time, but even one after another, so maybe we're concerned that you didn't cover the item very well, and there could be Zeya that comes up. So Moshe Sternbach and the Badei Shulchan, therefore, both suggest that ideally one should have two separate ovens. So Sternbach, I'll read this in English for the sake of time. He says, all this is, the oven is only used for meat and dairy, and one only changes it occasionally, and then one may kosher it in the manner that we explained. So the idea of using, let's say I have a meat oven, but I'm going to kosher it for dairy. So you can do that occasionally when there's a need, but not something that can be done on a regular basis. If one uses it frequently for both meat and dairy, one should not rely on this leniency. Since through regular use, one is likely to err to kosher it improperly, which is especially problematic since meat is always moist and the steam rises. Therefore, when one uses it regularly for both meat and dairy, it's appropriate to purchase two ovens or double oven in a manner that the zeah does not transfer from one to the other. In other words, if you have one oven on top of another oven, I don't know what the mechanics and the reality of this is, but I guess we have to make sure that the oven on top of the other oven, you're not having that the ventilation is not such that one is circulating, one into the other. So Moshe Sternbach is not like if you're kashering the ovens on a regular basis, because at a certain point, and when you're doing it on a regular basis and you're going back and forth and you're kind of in a rush, so you're not going to do it properly. He says two ovens would be best. And Revival Cohen agrees. He says that one should have separate oven racks, but ideally, either one should cover, at the very least, one should have separate racks, or should cover the racks with aluminum foil. So let's say it's a meat oven, so I want to cover the rack for the dairy that I'm doing covered. But even better to have two different ovens. I don't know.
It's a modern thing.
I don't know. In
two ovens.
I don't know in previous centuries if Jews always had separate ovens. I don't know how they handled that. Although, again, you know, go back to the period of Shulchan Aruch. So for other reasons, even consecutively, there were problems with cooking in the same oven. So I don't know how they dealt with that. But if one can have separate ovens, and you know. By all means, it makes things a little bit easier, but if not, so I personally rely on Rav Schechter's approach, and we wait for the oven to cool down. Tony.
So if I can understand that, I can clean out my oven, leave it for 24 hours, whatever it is, and use it from fleischig to milchig, then that means that I could put a parv cake in the oven doing the same thing? Do I have to wait between using the fleischig oven and putting a parv pot in to bake a cake?
I think the idea is that you just don't want meat within the 24 hours, but if it's parv, I think we're fine. Okay, page 40, we get to microwaves. Can you use a microwave for dairy and meat? So on one hand, a problem, a particular leniency, a particular issue that's more severe with microwaves than with ovens is that there's more zeh, there's more steam potentially in microwaves. It's also smaller space, so the steam is more concentrated. And on the other hand, microwaves, the walls are made out of plastic. They're not going to get very hot, which means that the absorption and the emitting of taste is going to be very different. So,
also don't have fire.
What?
You don't have fire in microwave to burn out things or anything.
Huh? Right, right. So Rav Nachum Rabinovich, Zechron Livracha and Siach Nachum, he was actually, when microwaves came out in 1970-something, I think that's what the tshuva was dated to, so he wrote a letter to Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, who was one of the great poskim, in the mid-20th century, saying, we have this thing called a microwave, and here's how it works. And I think it's okay to use, to do dairy and then meat after that. But I want to hear your thoughts. So Henkin wasn't doing so well. He said, I never heard of this device until you brought it to my attention. And I don't have the wherewithal right now to really look at it carefully. But he thought what Rabinovich was saying was reasonable. Rabinovich is pretty lenient in terms of using dairy and meat separately, as long as the microwave is clean in between. And with that said, the Sefer Kashrus writes the following, source 33 on page 40, concerning a standard microwave that is used only for defrosting or reheating food. Some permit using it alternately for dairy and meat on the condition that the food is hermetically sealed and is not placed directly on the plate. For parv, one doesn't need to use the cover at all. Some are more stringent and use a microwave for one type of food only and rely on the aforementioned leniency only in cases of special need. So some might say that you really should have a separate dairy and meat microwave. Again, the concern of steam is much larger and things can splatter in the microwave. There are issues that could come up there. On the other hand, a very common position is that if you cover it, or let's say, you cook your meat uncovered, but you cover your dairy, so perhaps that would be acceptable, and Sefer Kashrus accepts this. The Tzorba editors point out that when you're using a microwave in a public location, so you have there you can have some real problems. Don't necessarily know who's using it. Don't know how careful people are being. So they recommend that you double wrap it. Rav Eliezer Malaman in Pinin Halacha. So he says, b'dieved, if one heated up food without the proper covering, the food is kosher. And if there was not proper separation between the food and the plate may have been dirty with some remnants of tray food or other type, so the food heated up is not kosher. So what I would say in that respect is that definitely, I would say, never ever put food directly on the plate in the microwave, because that's just an invitation for lots of problems. But if I'm talking about the glass plate in the microwave, but if you, again, there's even what to rely on. If one doesn't cover food at all, it's obviously can't be at the same time. The microwave has to be clean. But ideally, One can cook meat and dairy separately in the same microwave as long as it's covered. It's pointed out that some of the microwave covers, they actually come with some perforations. But Rav Schechter and Melamed both hold that that's not really a problem. It's not that much steam coming out through the holes. So if the microwave cover has some holes in it, then that's not an issue. Okay. Dishwashers. So the Shulchan Aruch discusses the possibility that if one put ashes into hot water in a large dairy pot, and then you're going to wash the meat pots inside this dairy pot, so you're allowed to do that because the ashes ruin the taste, and it's no sin tam lifpam. The Shach objects to this. Shach is one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch in this area of halacha. So Shach objects, says, where did he get this idea from? That adding ashes to the water automatically makes it a nosin tam lifpam when you're cleaning cleaning the pots. So Pischei Tshuva comes and responds and says that it's actually not really a nosin tam lifpam idea here. It's not that, but the ashes prevents the milk and meat from mixing all together in a sense that it creates basar b'chalav. So it's as if it's just not a relevant issue at all. So what happens if I have something that's nosin tam lifpam when I'm washing dishes? So that has interesting implications for dishwashers. So Rav Avadya Yosef and Yabia Omer claims that when you run your dishwasher, you have soap. And one of the common leniencies when it comes to dishwashing is that if there was soap involved, so you're not really trafing up, if you use the dairy sponge with the meat plate, so it's not, so the plate is fine because the soap is considered no sin tam lifgam. It definitely creates a leniency in terms of if there's a concern that maybe a utensil was accidentally placed in the dishwasher, or we're not sure, but there's a possibility. So there you might have something to rely on in terms of no sin tam lifgam. So Rav Avadya Yosef allows you to wash your dairy and meat dishes together in the dishwasher at the same time, based on this principle. This Pesach of Rav Avadya Yosef is generally not accepted. It might be Sfardim who follow it, but in the Ashkenazi world, it's definitely not accepted. Again, if there's a situation where we need something b'dieved, then that's a different story. There are two problems with Rav Avadya's approach. Number one is that we don't generally lechatchila do nosin tam lifgam, right? Nosin tam lifgam is perhaps a leniency after the fact, if I made a mistake, so if the taste imparted was bad, so then maybe have a leniency. That's not something that we would regularly I don't think it's something that we would regularly rely on. And number two, one of the issues with dishwashers also is that the soap is not always released right away. So it could be that the hot water is already, getting everything all over the place. The water is getting everything all over the place, even before the soap kicks in. You also have the issue with filters nowadays, that there's also, and the filters, sometimes you have residue that creates issues.
What about the temperature? It's so hot. I'm not saying but in a commercial dishwasher, maybe it's so hot that it kind of cushes everything. And
but it's like the idea of if you're tovel with a sheretz in your hands, and you're not tahor. And likewise, if you're kashering things, but there's dairy and meat getting mixed at the same time, so that's not helping you very much. Again, so maybe the soap is some time of gum and that gets you out of there, but the hot water itself is not sufficient. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was not a fan of using dishwashers for both dairy and meat. He said that one should have two dishwashers. If you look on source 39, in the second line, if you look how he writes dishwashers, he writes Dalad Yod Shin Vav Vav Aleph Shin Ayin Resh, dishwasher. Now, in modern Hebrew, they call it Madiach Kelim, but he calls it the dishwasher in Hebrew letters. So he says that... that you should have two different, at least you need to have two different racks if you're going to use one after another, but ideally two different dishwashers. And he says it's common that actual residue where fat remains there and touches the dairy utensil and vice versa. So part of the issue is the racks. And the hot water that is yatzo lettuce bow, it's you know, when it's super hot, it'll cause absorption in dairy utensil and vice versa. So he's concerned about the racks. With that said, with that said, he goes on in this same tshuva, in different tshuva, he says on page 44, concerning the new appliance that washes dishes called dishwasher, where the one may wash dairy and meat dishes consecutively, you will need the area inside upon which the dishes are placed to have different ones for meat and dairy. And the dishwasher itself into which the object used to place the dishes is placed, which consists only of the wall surrounding it, may be used for both one after the other. So essentially, Rav Moshe is saying if you have different racks, so you could theoretically use the same dishwasher. But again, the issue that comes up, I think this is noted in the footnote, is that you still have the filter trapping. There's still often stuff that's in the dishwasher. And yes, it might be nosim tam lekam, but lechatchila, you know, if you were to do something like that, you'd have to work on the filtering situation.
The whole thing for Pesach, Pesach causes, you know, whether you could cash a dishwasher for Pesach.
So first of all, before I get to the kashering process, so the Badei HaShulchan does not allow switching the racks. Maybe there's absorption in the wall. So if you look at the source 42, which is Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, Akashu Kehalacha, I'm going to read in English. Some are lenient to use a home dishwasher to wash meat dishes followed by dairy dishes, and this is what one should do. Clean the area around the filter and remove any food residue. Right? That's very important. If possible, change the racks. If changing racks is possible, wash them well. Wait 24 hours, and then turn on dishwasher with hot water and soap before using. I don't think changing racks is entirely necessary. We say that kashering plastic is fine. Certainly, you know, I think what I did when I was kashering for Pesach was I did two runs without dishes. One before I waited 24 hours, I did one run just to, you know, after I removed the filter, I did one run just to make sure that the racks got cleaned. And then I waited 24 hours, and then I did another round with the hot water and soap. So that is what I would recommend in that respect. If we're running out of time, we'll finish up with stoves and hot plates, Yirtzeh Hashem, next week. And then I think we might have a little bit more time. So we'll start talking about Bishul Akum, about food cooked by a non-Jew. That will take us a while, but we'll start working on that, Yirtzeh Hashem, next week. Thanks everyone for the commendation.
Thank you.
Ceremony tomorrow night starts at Mincha at 6:50, and 7 o'clock is the program. And encourage everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you.